Hello, welcome to Spotlight, shining brightly across the island's colourful, artistic landscape.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, get behind the sofa. A classic Manx tale is given a gothic horror treatment with a black comic twist. Kensington Arts gears up for more national theatre connections. And Russian Silver Band play a special concert to celebrate the life of a special lady. Remember, do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you might be involved in planning, hoping to create or would really like to, yes, put in the spotlight. That's this show. Poetic, theatrical, musical, literary, ceramic, sculpture, drag, film, mime, social media, the list is endless. Make sure you're endless in getting in contact with us. Look to hear from you. Let's get you featured, whatever it might be. We'll see what we can do. Be great to hear from you. Drop me a line, you know the address, spotlight@manxradio.com. Or Howard Kane, with an E, at manxradio.com. Love to hear from you. Now, there can't be many people on the Isle of Man who don't know the legend of the Mór the Dhu, the ghostly black dog said to roam the resplendent remains of Peel Castle on dark and windy nights. I don't know, it has to actually be windy, but there's usually some sort of breeze blowing around the ramparts, so chances are it will be. And to this day, there are still said to be sightings on a moonlit night. Now, a Manx filmmaker has taken the tale and given it his own unique twist to create a short film simply entitled The Mór the Dhu, which sees past and present collide when the mythical beast is reawakened by a couple exploring the iconic castle. The man behind it all, writer and director and filmmaker Ben Desmond from Ballyskeg Films, called into Manx Radio Towers to tell me more. Beware.
I had just finished my previous film, Sin, and I really wanted to do something that was a little bit, something that was Manx, because I am Manx, you know, I'm born here, brought up here, and I'm very proud of being Manx. I really wanted to do something that was Manx. But I also wanted to do something that was maybe a bit of a challenge for me, because my previous films, Pitfall and Sin, were basically human interest stories, and I really wanted to tackle a genre piece. And I obviously remember rereading the Sophia Morrison collection of short stories when I was younger, and so I got that off my shelf at home, and I had a really look through them, and I really loved all of them. But for me, the reason I picked The Mór the Dhu was because I felt out of all of the stories there, that had the potential to be a really good creepy horror piece. And so that was the main reason why. But I will not lie, I was a bit concerned, because, I mean, as much as the story is, it's a fantastically creepy tale and it's really good, it is quite the actual story itself is quite slender and slim. And so, you know, with film, you're always thinking, how can we add a bit more to it? And so I was at home, and I happened to be watching Roald Dahl's Tales of the Unexpected, the early ones that that Roald Dahl wrote himself and would introduce. And I thought, that's what the film needs. It needs that slight injection of dark comedy, and also taking the ordinary and giving it a sort of a kind of creepy sort of black comedy twist. And that was it, really, and that was where the idea came from.
And then what about actually turning it into reality then, the sort of casting and shooting, so that it was all shot on the Isle of Man?
It was indeed, did you? Yes, we filmed in Peel Castle and in Castle Rushen, and I have to be, I'm really thankful for Manx National Heritage for their help and support. And but basically I wrote the script, the script came together quite quickly. And then I looked at look at the practicalities of shooting it, and applied to the Diamond Arts Council, and they were very kind and said yes, absolutely. Reached out to Culture for Valen as well, because I wanted to reach out to them, because obviously our film is shot in Manx, and so I wanted their help and support as well. So I reached out to them, and then got in touch with all the various other parties. I got in touch with my team, who've done my previous two films, and they said, yeah, absolutely, this sounds like a really great idea, let's shoot it. And then in terms of casting was relatively easy. We had a casting director who was absolutely fantastic, and I also knew a couple of the cast as well, who I'd worked with before or who I'd met previously on some other shoots that I'd worked on, and that was it, really. I did it, and that was kind of how it happened. It was really just as simple as that, really.
And a great idea to actually have the Manx language in it, but it is, for those, obviously, I'm not a Manx speaker per se, it is accessible for those who are non-Manx speakers.
Oh, yeah, certainly is, yeah. I mean, the thing for me with all of the films I've done, I always like to take the Alfred Hitchcock approach, which is that if you can watch your film with the sound down and it still and the story still makes sense, then you've probably got something. But I was really, really keen to film it in Manx because I mean, I'm a huge believer in things being historically accurate, and of course in the 1660s, which is where the bulk of our story is set, they would have spoken in Manx, and so I was very keen to incorporate that. And I also think it's really important for our language to be seen more widely, I think, as well. And it was really great fun, and it was really great actually, because I mean, as I said, none of our main cast are Manx speakers, but they were absolutely fantastic. They really were great.
And did you have to actually cast a black dog as well?
We did, yes. What we did was, I got in touch with the Manx SPCA, who were absolutely fantastic, and they put out a casting call. And what happened was, we then got a list of names through, and Rain, who is our black dog, she was, the minute I saw her, I knew she was right for it. And she was absolutely fantastic. Seriously, she was so patient and so gracious, and you know, she had an awful lot to do, and she was great.
It's great to have a reimagining of this classic tale. I think everyone knows, who's been brought up on the Isle of Man or even knows the Isle of Man, will hear of the Mór the Dhu and Peel Castle, as you say. Mm. It's great to give it a little twist, as you say. So it's dark, it's sort of horror, it's like a dark horror comic sort of short. It has all been shot now and all the post-production done. Yeah. So where does it go now?
Well, the next plan for the film is, we are currently submitting to film festivals, and then we will see what happens there. It's just a question of just having to wait now, but we are aiming high with it as well, so we'll just see what happens.
So these various festivals around sort of Britain or Europe or further afield?
We've put in for a lot of ones which are in Celtic regions, and we've put into ones which lots of ones in the UK and in Ireland, and some in Europe, and a couple in the States as well.
And you must have mentioned, because I saw that there's a soundtrack. So do you have music specially done for it?
We did, yes. My composer Miguel, who has scored my previous two films, is an absolute genius, and he did a very special score for the film and did a fantastic job on it. He really did. And it's great. It's really good.
It's, as you say, going for the film festival. So when it goes for the festivals, that does mean in the sort of short term going forward, it won't sort of be easily available for everyone else to watch, because that's the way the very strict rules on these festivals. So is there any way, are there any little snippets people can see, or how do other people get to see it in the sort of the next sort of months or years?
Well, we will be having a teaser trailer coming out soon, which will be hopefully within the next week or two, and we have a Instagram page where people can find stills and all the news on there, and that is at Mór the Dhu Film. You can find us there on Instagram, and I'll be posting stuff on Facebook as well. And yeah, but the next big thing will be the teaser trailer, which will be out, as I said, soon. We hope, once the film festival circuit has run its course and we're all done there, the film will become Mór widely available, but that's probably not going to be for at least another year and a half, or maybe two, because that's the sort of standard festival run for a film.
Well, it's a terrific idea. I love the idea of the black dog getting out there and the tale being reimagined in this sort of gothic horror comic genre. Yeah. Very best of luck on the festival circuits, and will you come back and let us know how it gets on?
I certainly will, Howard. Thank you very much. Thank you.
As Ben says, sadly, we won't be able to see the film for some time due to the festival rules, but hopefully you can see that taster via the Instagram page at Mór the Dhu Film. And we'll keep in contact with Ben to see how the film does at the festivals, putting the island on the film map. Good luck.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
Now, young actors, listen up. If you've ever fancied treading the boards with excellent tuition in a hope that someone will recognise your talent and start you on a lifelong career in the industry, now is your chance. It's once a year, this chance, usually. The National Theatre Connections Project. It affords young actors across the British Isles a unique opportunity to perform brand new plays by some of the UK's most exciting writers and show off your talent where it can be noticed. It's getting underway at Kensington Arts, or KA, with the first casting workshop taking place tomorrow evening. Tomorrow evening. Time is of the essence. I hot-footed it down to KA to speak to Creative Development Coordinator Emma Goodson.
Another year of being in partnership with the National Theatre for Connections, so we're super excited. It'll be the 11th year that Kensington Arts has been involved and the 31st year.
Wow.
The National Theatre have been running this amazing project.
And just remind us then exactly how this project works.
So the National Theatre commission 10 new plays each year, and the plays are specifically written for a young audience and for sort of young performers, around, you know, teenage age. So they advise 13 to 19 years old for people to get involved, and they're always really sort of interesting, a really good mix of plays, and we kind of get to put forward our favourite, and then they tell us basically if we get our first or second choice. And this year we have a play called Fishville.
Good name.
Yes. And it's about, well, it's set in a small seaside village, so there's kind of quite a lot of overlap with what it's like to live on the Isle of Man.
I'm just thinking, yeah. I think that's the first time I've been doing it where there's almost a correlation between the play and where we are.
Yeah, and that was a big draw for David, who is directing again this year, David Dawson, so I'm really excited to see kind of what he gets up to, how he, you know, how his vision comes to life with, of course, our young participants, their input as well, and how they want their characters to kind of shine on the stage.
So how does this work practically then? So the play has been chosen. David Dawson, again, will be producing it here. So how does it go from here? What's the actual sort of nuts and bolts of the whole process?
So after the auditions and we get into the rehearsals, we kind of have rehearsals twice a week, every week up until the home performance, which is due at the end of March. And then after that, the group go away to perform elsewhere in the UK. So this year we've got Blackpool Grand as our partner fitter. We've never been there before. For Connections, so that will be new and exciting as well. Really looking forward to that. Because the play is brand new, it's never been performed before, produced before, we are, you know, the group are in a really exciting position because they are coming at it from a completely new perspective. They don't have any sort of outside influence, having seen or the play before. And so, as well as the David directing, the young participants really do get to have a lot of input in how it can be produced. We also have our tech crew, which consists of young people as well that work kind of behind the scenes. They work on lighting, sound, etc., and they get to have their say as well on how the production is kind of shaped.
So the workshops, or at least the workshops and the auditioning process, will get underway tomorrow, Thursday evening?
Yes. So we have our free workshops that also act as informal auditions, but there's kind of no pressure. You can come along to it as well just to kind of get a taster and learn more about the project. So you don't have to prepare anything. You come along. David will be leading the workshops, it consists of a variety of different drama games and activities. David will be kind of seeing who stands out from there, and there's three of them, so you are welcome to come to one of them, or you can come to all of them. You know, you could come to the first one and maybe you really enjoy it and want to come back.
And the other two, what, over the next week or so, or longer?
Yeah, so we have our first one, like you said, is tomorrow, Thursday, the 25th of September. And then the next one is the 30th of September. And then the final one is on Thursday, the 2nd of October.
And then does David cast it himself directly from those?
Yes, he does. Yeah, along with Ben Gale, who is assistant director.
Rehearsals start when they start, pretty much straight off the back of that?
Yeah, there might be perhaps a 1 week gap, but they basically start, yeah, the beginning of October, right through until March. And then there's the home performance, and then there'll be a week or two before the group go away to perform at Blackpool in front of a brand new audience.
Marvellous. So they rehearse all winter here at KA, and then the performance, first performance, will be here to... Is it an invited audience for the performance here, or is it open to the public?
It's open to the public. One of the exciting things as well about the home performance is that the National Theatre invite one of their directors to come over and watch the home performance. Their job is to watch the performance and kind of give their feedback on, you know, perhaps some improvements, what they think we might be able to do to kind of make it a little bit more special. And obviously they're a director chosen by the National Theatre, so it's just really interesting and valuable to have their perspective, kind of understand where they're coming from. After that, that's when the group kind of get to take on that feedback and make any changes between then and when they go away to perform.
And that's later in the summer, or?
That will be mid-April.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then off the back of that, there's also, I think, one sort of lucky group gets to go down to London perform. Is that off the back of that as well?
Yeah, that is. So we're told that it's not really a competition. You know, it's not necessarily the best plays, the best performances that get selected. But I'm sure it involves a little bit of that to some degree. So basically, because there's 10 shows that have been commissioned and produced, then 10 companies are selected to then perform at the National Theatre in London. That's usually May or June time. So yeah, fingers crossed.
Absolutely. And so all starts tomorrow evening, Thursday evening. People can just turn up. They don't need to fill in any forms. They don't need to have any previous acting experience.
It's free. There's no need to pre-register or anything like that. You just show up. So tomorrow the workshops start at 5 to 7. And then that's the same for the following workshop on Tuesday the 30th, but then on Thursday the 2nd of October it's slightly different times. It's starting at 4:30 to 6:30.
Marvellous. And we should just say finally that coming along to these and getting involved in a KA production, you never know where it might end up, because some of them have people who have been through here, been through the NT and the Connections project, have gone on to literal stardom and gone on to sort of global stage.
Yeah, absolutely. So most famously, Joe Locke was involved with us for a number of years and participated in Connections. So we're really proud of that. There's always very many talented young people that come through our doors, and Connections really seems to sort of, the project really nurtures that.
David Dawson, and I'm director of Connections. It's one of the best festivals I think I've ever been involved with. To be honest, I say it's been a decade now. It's flown by. It's gone extremely quickly. The opportunity that the National Theatre presents is it's new plays every year, specifically directed at 13 to 19 year olds. So it's aimed at them to try and give them something that they can get into their teeth and want to do. So that's, I think, why it's gone on for so long. I mean, this is their 31st year running Connections at the National Theatre. So it's a huge success. And I think it will continue for a long, long time because of that reason, because of the opportunities and just the fun of it, I suppose, as well.
Absolutely, which is what it's all about in so many ways. And also the fact that the plays are all sort of new plays by new talent.
Yeah, exactly. So we've actually been given our play this year. So we are doing a play called Fishville, and we chose it. It was our first choice of the plays available. You have to put in a first or second choice, and it was our first choice primarily because it just kind of really spoke to me and the others involved, because it focuses on the sea and the mystery of the sea and the power of the sea, and it's about a community, small community there, and it's about a group of children trying to learn. There's a child has gone missing, has suspected been killed, and they're wondering what's going on. They're wondering if there's another world under there, and it talks about you know, everything that we kind of live with on the island in terms of house prices and erosion, and as I say, just that power and mystery of the sea itself. So it's quite a strong piece, you know, a dark piece in a sense, with the themes of loss. But the kind of element of adventure is there, and wanting to know and understand this kind of force and having to live with this force, which is obviously what, you know, our youth, our students on the island are well aware of. And hopefully that we can really put our own kind of thoughts and mentality into it because of that.
And as Emma was saying, and you mentioned there, it's actually perhaps for the first time, certainly since we've been talking about doing these over the years, there is a sort of direct correlation between the play and the community and the actors you'll be working with here on the Isle of Man.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, that's actually quite a wonderful thing. We've done a lot of different topics. We've done play, you know, the ones that come to mind, the Free Nine, which was a true story about, I think, nine North Korean children who tried to escape from North Korea into South Korea and were captured. We told that story. We've done stories set in council estates in Northern Ireland. We've done stories set in the far distant future, millennia into the future. So we've done things which are, you know, maybe not what our youth on the island have encountered, but still they understand the characters and their feelings and the emotions. But this one very much will be something that hopefully they can really recognize and bring their own ideas and thoughts forward to how they feel about it and their own experiences, which is kind of what Connections is all about.
And how difficult is it working with young people? As you say, with these pieces, they're not sort of throwaway pieces. They're quite often challenging pieces, pieces which are exploring and sort of confronting issues of the day. And as you mentioned in Fishville, we're talking about issues of death and suicide and such like. These are very heavy topics to be working with young people.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I think the reason, you know, we keep doing this at Kensington Arts is because actually it's just so rewarding seeing all those who take part, just them develop as young adults. You know, the confidence they get from that, the friendships they make, the ability, all those kind of skills that you're kind of wanting them to gain. You see it over that progression of working with them. And yeah, it is a dark piece in the sense with the potential themes of suicide. But we also, the reason it's there and the National bring this up is because it's in people's lives. You know, we can't think that negativity is just somehow avoids children aged 13 to 19 or young adults aged 13 to 19. You know, they encounter, you know, real adversity day to day, whether with themselves or with friends or family. And it's a real opportunity to give them their voice and go, yeah, I understand this. And it's a chance for me to portray it or show it or understand it more. You know, that's one of the best things about the arts. It's a chance for people to sometimes actually get into a topic and just help them order their thoughts and their minds through a script, through something that is connected to them, but is still separate. And yeah, that's one of the most powerful things. You know, we've worked with fantastic people over the years, and all of them have kind of gone on and you know, to do great things in many different fields, but all of them still stay in touch with each other. Those casts, which is wonderful, they come from all around the island, all the different schools, and yet, you know, their bonds are so strong, and it's been wonderful kind of meeting them now in their kind of groups who are in their mid-20s, and they're still meeting up together today with those connection friends. So it's really, really wonderful.
Oh, that is terrific, I must admit, as you say, to form those bonds. So how do you go about the casting process then? We've got the first workshop that's taking place tomorrow evening, and then another three over the next couple of weeks. How do you go about the casting process? They're workshops. It's not a sort of strict formal audition. What are you looking for?
Yeah, we have to be slightly different with connections. So we are looking for people who not necessarily have been on the stage and have already a fantastic talent right there. We're looking for a mixture. So we are after people who maybe are going to really get the benefit of this development. So people who maybe are just starting out in theatre and they just want to learn the skill and move up. And we also want to push people who are already at a good level. So I want to try and raise them up even further and get the best we can from them. Because only it's only going to benefit us in later years. You know, if hopefully we can get them on the stage with the amateur societies in the adult plays and adult musicals, well, we are securing and promoting culture for the future, and that's kind of what we want. So it is different. They aren't given a script there and then. They are given improvisation tasks. They are given group work tasks, and you know, myself and Ben and Emma, we are looking to see who works well with other people, who you know, who can take a lead but without controlling, who can put their voice in, or who is worried about sitting out. So we're trying to encourage, and but still looking at it from that sense. So who's going to bring the best to the group for the year and potentially get the benefit from developing or being pushed? So yeah, it is very different to what they normally would do. But we found it works extremely well. And then when we have chosen those who are involved, we then cast the play from those who've auditioned and got into the show. And actually, we have people who don't want to be on stage. We have people who turn up and they want to do lighting or costume, stage management. You know, we have a young lad, Tig, who's been with us for the past, I think, five, six years now, potentially. And he has just been involved on the tech. And I say just in it's not just. He has basically driven the lighting and sound side and really got some great development from it. And now he's wanted to take that next step and look into that as a business and how it works in theatres and events and functions. So it's been really wonderful seeing him do so well on a technical side as well. It's not just about performance. We're trying to look at filling every single role within the theatre kind of world.
That's great. So anyone listening and thinking, yeah, all right, I don't want to set foot on stage, but I'd be interested in helping out in sound or costume, staging, makeup, lighting, that sort of thing, they can come along as well to the workshops.
They can come along, and they don't have to take part if they don't want to be kind of doing the performance side. They can come speak to us, talk about what they want to learn. We'll put them in touch with the head of tech, who's Paul at Kensington Arts, and he runs a separate workshops with Tech Club as well, so they can go to two things if they wanted to. And it's just a great opportunity, and Paul's been there for decades, and he's really, really fantastic at what he does and how he triumphs the young and wants them to learn and get those skills and ability on the tech side as well. So you know, we're just very lucky. You know, we are very lucky to have a venue like Kensington Arts there that is open to all, and provides so many great expertise and you know, just life skills in many senses as well.
And the great thing is, like I said, you're starting off now, just coming into the beginning stage of the workshops, start working with young people, and then of course the end stage of this is, not only is it performed here in front of an audience, it'll also be performed over in a wonderful theatre in Blackpool, and possibly, you never know, even down in London.
Yeah. So, I mean, Blackpool's a fantastic choice for us. It's really nice and, you know, close to home in a sense, so easy to travel to. And obviously, they'll get a bit of time to enjoy the sights of Blackpool and such. But really, it's a great production to bring to Blackpool, because obviously, seaside town, they understand it more than anyone as well, about the ocean and the power of it and the mystery of it. So really, really pleased to have this play going to Blackpool. You know, we've traveled around the countries each year. It's been a different location. We've had York for a few years. But we've been up and down the country, up even into Inverness and Scotland to perform. And that's one of the best parts of Connections, for our students to be able to get out and go and see different leading venues and see different people from different backgrounds, different cultures, you know, just doing the same kind of work, different plays or the same play even, and getting that opportunity to see how other people have worked. You know, I've never had that when I was younger, and it's just a joy to see them kind of experience life outside of the Isle of Man. You know, obviously these people are hopefully going to be looking at university or something along that lines. So it's a really great opportunity for them to start just having a little taster of UK life, I suppose, you know, away from our shores, and just get them a bit prepped. And actually, it's inspired many to go, yeah, I want to go now. I want to go and learn. I want to go and go into university, and I want to study about playwriting, or I want to go into the theatre, and that's what we've got. We've had so many who go on. I mean, most famously, obviously, is Joe Locke, who's been involved. He's flown, but there's so many others who are doing extremely well, and those who've then carried on into island life as well. With Evie, who has just performed in Chicago, she was with us in Connections for many years. She's now a leading lady in the shows over here. So it's just really wonderful to see that progression and opportunity again, as I talked about. And yeah, London is a potential. We were very honoured to be chosen to perform Hunt a few years back down at the Dorfman. That was just an incredible experience. And yet we may be in luck again, maybe, potentially, or we may get chosen again. We will see. So, but yeah, all very exciting.
It's a wonderful project. Best of luck for all the auditions, and hopefully we can touch base with you in a couple of months' time and see how rehearsals are coming along.
Fantastic, Howard. Yeah, really, really appreciate that. And I hope everybody can come and get a ticket to see the show when it's on next March.
It really is an incredible opportunity. And Dave Dawson, a brilliant director. You won't work with anyone better. Get yourself down there. And who knows where it will end? Douglas, Blackpool, London, Hollywood. It can and does happen. Before we go, a lovely event taking place this very weekend as Russian Silver Band paid tribute to a very special lady, Joyce Corlett, chair of Russian Silver Band. Chris Weldon told me more.
Joyce Corlett was a huge supporter of the arts in general, Russian Silver Band in particular. She'd been president of the band, she'd compared band concerts, was one of the founder members of what was then the Russian Silver Band Ladies Committee, supporting many of their husbands and children playing, later became the Friends of Russian Silver Band, a key figure in everything we've done for the last 40 or 50 years.
So what will be happening now then? There's going to be a special concert, as you say, in her memory. Where will it be and what's going to be happening?
Yeah, it's actually at the Erin Arts Centre in Port Erin, again, where an organisation she was very heavily involved with, where she was one of the founding trustees of the Arts Centre. So it's great to be able to team up with them and put on a concert in a lovely venue. It's on Sunday, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And we're bringing together the band, the Arts Centre, where it is, and a couple of special guests that bring something of Joyce's life to the event. So Gareth Moore will be playing the organ at the Arts Centre. Joyce was a well-known organist at St Catherine's and St Peter's in Craigneish. And also Christine Tier, a fantastic soprano solo singer. Again, representing the parts of Joyce's life as a singer, where she's won both the Cleveland Medal at the Guild and also the Blackpool Rose Bowl.
And the music is going to be what sort of some of Joyce's favourite pieces?
Yeah, about 10 years ago, the band did what we called a by request concert. And for a lot of our regular supporters, we went and asked them what their favourite pieces were. We put them together. Now, helpfully, we still have the archives. So most of the programme is based around pieces Joyce picked for that concert. So some things that people will know, I think, tunes like Highland Cathedral, the unofficial anthem of Scotland, but maybe a few things that she won't know, people won't know, that she was particularly fond of. A good example of another well-known piece is where we have a brass band version of When I'm 64 by the Beatles, done in a slightly different style with some comic moments, which I think will just bring a bit of life to the event.
And Joyce, I think she used to compare the band quite often as well?
Absolutely. She used her wide range of musical knowledge to stand up and introduce the band and the band's pieces, and just had that deftness of touch with people, could bring a bit of light to the situation, and was just an entertaining person to be with.
And I think just one of those people, again, I was just looking at what she actually did during life, and as well as her connection with the band and comparing there. And as you mentioned, she was a great singer, she was an organist, she was also a commissioner of Port Erin, part of Russian Heritage Trust, Russian Emergency Ambulance, and scout leader, volunteer for the Citizens Advice. How did she fit it all in one with this?
I've no idea. I was also her next door neighbour for about 25 years. And every time you popped in, she was either on the phone to somebody, or somebody had come to see her, or she was writing a letter on behalf of something. She was just involved in everything and a real asset to the community.
So in many ways, obviously, it's very sad that she's gone, but it's going to be a wonderful celebration of everything she did for the band and her life as well.
Absolutely. Really looking forward to it. We've also got a clip of a video she did, recorded for Culture Vanity, of her time in the Second World War in Port Erin and what it was like to live that. We're going to show that before the event starts. And we've got some photos and actually a recording of her singing. So really bringing her memory into the concert, and some well-known music, people will really enjoy, come along and celebrate her life.
And you just mentioned there in passing as well, it's an ideal venue for it because she was there right at the very beginning of the Erin Arts Centre as well, when it first started developing into the wonderful arts centre it is today.
Absolutely. When Dr. Bethel set up the Arts Centre, Joyce was one of the founding trustees. She's been involved ever since. So she would be a regular down at the Arts Centre, amongst the many other activities, as we know she did.
Terrific. Just remind us of the, so we know it's at the Erin Arts Centre, just remind us of the time again and how people get tickets if they want to go along.
Yeah, the concert's at 2 o'clock on Sunday. Tickets are available through the Erin Arts Centre's box office or their webpage, can be bought online. Tickets are £12.50.
Sounds like a great evening. A real musical celebration of a life well lived. What more can you ask at the end of the day? That's about it for now. We're back next week as usual when we'll catch up with the Bard, among other joys. See you then. In the meantime, be good. Whatever you're doing, be creative about it. Hey, Moo.